The second epistle to Timothy, chapter 1, from the verse number 13 to the end of this chapter.
Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well.
Because I don't want to repeat this whole preceding passage from the verse number 1 to the verse number 12 that I already talked about in the preceding recordings, I will just quickly look at the verses 9 and 10. God hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. He hath abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And now in the verse number 13, Paul is telling us, hold fast that form, that pattern, that shape of sound doctrines, gospel doctrines, the important fundamental points of the gospel teaching. The gospel teaching that Paul the Apostle, in faithful instructions, presented to the disciples, including Timothy. That whole teaching is in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his love practiced and preached to the others. And then in the verse number 14 he said, that good thing, that deposit, the values, the talents that you have received, committed to your faithful service to the Lord, keep by the Holy Spirit which is dwelling in us. If we keep the gifts and blessings that we received from the Lord, if we keep them by the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, then those talents and those gifts are going to be used in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. When I consider the love and faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ, and when I compare my faith and my love toward him and my fellow believers, I could wish I was at least a shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ, at least somewhat closer to the example of the apostles. But I also acknowledge the fact that the love that I have for the Lord Jesus Christ and the faithfulness to the gospel teaching that I practice is only a feeble echo of his love that has reached my soul, and only his goodness, mercy and grace is sustaining me on the path of salvation, preserving that excitement, that living hope, the expectation of his glorious coming. That fellowship in the Spirit of Christ, that relationship with the Heavenly Father, is even more important and significant in the times and situations that we see in the verse number 15. As Paul is writing, all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. For a faithful preacher, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, it must have been a very grievous experience to see that those who once professed their faith in Christ now are turning away. Here I don't see clearly and in details in what way they turned away. Did they change the doctrines of the gospel and the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ into some teaching of their own? Or did they refuse to support the Apostle Paul in the ministry, seeing that he is suffering much more than they were willing to? I do not know. But as a contrast to that, in the verse number 16, Paul is writing, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." In this verse number 15, I cannot exactly figure out how wide a region of turning away from the Apostle Paul among the believers was, because Ephesus also was in Asia Minor, and obviously the Apostle Paul is sending this epistle to Timothy, and Timothy was in Ephesus at that time, I suppose, as we read in the beginning of the first epistle to Timothy. I would like to think, at least I hope, it was just a minor region, but it's also possible that many people turn away from the Lord when they face persecution, and some will turn away from the Lord when some of the brothers are faithfully witnessing for the Lord, and because of their testimony suffering a lot in this world, that some other ones would turn away from the Lord lest they appear to be second-class citizens, something similar to what the so-called friends, the visitors of Job, did, laboring hard to condemn Job, just that somehow they would appear holier without helping at all. But this Onesiphorus must have been a very faithful brother in the Lord, serving the Lord wholeheartedly, and in this his help to the Apostle Paul, he is reminding me somehow on that Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, that carried the cross of the Lord after him. We see here in the verse number 16, it's Paul's desire and prayer for God's mercy and grace upon those that labor in the Lord. "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain." The house, the household of this brother, which would mean that probably his wife and his adult or bigger children also were involved in laboring for the Lord, especially if the household was not very wealthy. It was a costly thing to serve in the gospel, but they found a way of helping the apostle in his persecution, and not to be embarrassed nor ashamed of being in a close fellowship with a prisoner, a chained person, one that has been accused and persecuted as a criminal, and yet he is one of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the verse number 18, Paul is saying, "The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day." Yes, that is our prayer, our desire, that the Lord would grant mercy to Onesiphorus and to all the faithful ones on that day and every day before that day, that we may all walk in the light of the Word of God, in the fellowship of His Spirit. If there be many or few or none that follow the Lord Jesus Christ, I must follow him, because he has the words of life, as Peter the Apostle said. This faithful and diligent service to the saints of the Lord is a special gift and a blessing. It is a precious value, an offering pleasing to the Lord, and it's worthy our effort, our investment, our labor. To the Apostle Paul, it was a refreshing experience. Someone here sharing the love and zeal of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is accelerating our desire to be together in eternity and worship the Lord for His great goodness and mercy forever and ever. I believe that is what Paul is telling and encouraging Timothy to hold fast, that teaching and that daily practice of the gospel of our Lord Jesus. If there be a few or many that will turn away from the Lord and away from the apostolic teaching, let us follow the Lord as Joshua the son of Nun said, I and my household will serve the Lord, but you choose today whom you are going to serve. Yes, as we are traveling through this valley, from time to time we will have very sad and grievous experiences, but our sadness is only for a time. We are not here forever. And always, even in the saddest hours of our pilgrimage, we have the comfort of the Holy Spirit and the excitement of that promise that the Lord has given us, I will come again. So we cannot waste our time on pining in sadness over the things that we see here. Let us labor true and faithful. Soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a joy and rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll shout and rejoice in victory. When we experience the tragedies of the lost around us, when we observe how the trees and plants that the Lord has not planted are being rooted out, in our sadness, let us lift our prayers to the Lord and receive new comfort and strength from Him and continue walking on the path of righteousness and praising the Lord, for He is worthy to receive our praises. The Apostle is encouraging Timothy, hold fast to the gospel teaching. The gifts and talents you have received, committed unto you, keep by the Holy Spirit. Keeping by the Holy Spirit means working busily until the Lord's coming. I don't remember reading about Onesiphorus in any other place other than here in the second epistle to Timothy. And yet, from this limited information that we received here, it's obvious that Onesiphorus was a wonderful example of godliness. And I can only wonder how many others there were that are not even recorded here. And after the time of recording the scripture, how many faithful believers were in suffering, in persecution, in faithful service to the Lord, in helping one another, in reaching out to the unbelievers, in doing the will of the Lord, in the purity of their heart and the zeal of their souls, knowing that soon they were going to leave this world and go back to be with the Lord forever. May the Lord also keep us in that awareness and give us grace and power to do His will from the heart, to worship Him in doing His good pleasure. Living in Christ, walking with the Lord, is a beautiful, wonderful experience. But when we get together around the throne of God in that glorious eternity, I'm confident there will be multitudes of glorious examples, wonderful examples of godliness and faithfulness, those that were inspired by the Spirit of Christ, that were preserved by His goodness and grace, and now in that blessed eternity they are rejoicing, worshiping their Creator and their Savior. May we also be with them, united and joined by the grace of God, and worship God and our Savior eternally. In these last three verses of the chapter 1, second epistle to Timothy, we can see the fulfillment of the Lord's commandment and instruction to the disciples: love one another. By that you will have a living testimony that you are my disciples. The Lord Jesus also said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And that is that pattern, that form of the teachings and doctrines that the Apostle Paul taught Timothy and the other believers, and today us, as we read this epistle. In the verse number 15, we can see that down here in this world, the good deeds of the faithful are sometimes rewarded with injustice and unfaithfulness. And yet all the faithful are looking forward to that day of which we read in the verse number 18. As we also read in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 25 from the verse number 31 to the end of that chapter, that the Lord is going to gather all the people before Him on that day, and He will separate them, and those on the right hand side will hear His proclamation: come, O ye blessed of my Father, you lived that gospel that I lived on earth, received the kingdom prepared for you since the foundation of the world. But to those on the left hand side that were disobedient and unfaithful, there will be only His confirmation that as they have chosen to walk with the enemy in their life down here, the same way they are going to share His awful eternity in suffering their own choice. May the Lord give us grace and power to always be faithful, to always do His will from the heart, knowing that He has done for us much, much more than we can ever do for Him in our ministry. And His ultimate reward cannot be measured nor described in any human language. When we consider how the Lord Jesus Christ is victorious in every battle, we can live in expectation of His ultimate triumph, looking forward to that blessed experience of seeing the glory and the majesty of His name filling the universe and our souls. Then we can join the Apostle Paul as he wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 1 from the verse number 3, saying from the depth of our souls,
blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ.